Good vach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and this is Parshat Mishpatim. That's right. There are so many halachos. I forgot. I think it was 60-something. I can't recall, but there's an innumerable, seemingly innumerable amount of halachos mentioned in this week's Parsha. Before we begin, I wanted to discuss two different matters. One, again, this year is sponsored in loving memory of Sarah Bala Bat Menachem Mendel. May her neshama have an aliyah. The second thing, I had mentioned to a few people today from Sheer Enjoyment that I was trying to come up with an answer to a question that I had about the Parsha. The Divrei Torah that I give to you every Thursday night, Baruch Hashem, I've had inspiration in the past, and I've written about them before, and I kind of recall them. I've been putting out a Dvar Torah pretty much every week for the last about 11 or so years, and I go through the older ones, and those are generally the materials that I use for my Divrei Torah. So if anybody wants to be a part of the mailing list, please contact Sheer Enjoyment, whether it be Jake, Ellie, or somebody else. You can also, if you're having trouble reaching them, you can feel free to reach out to me, yisachorchg@gmail.com. That's yisochorchg@gmail.com. However, I would prefer you go through the Sheer Enjoyment mailing list, as that's much easier to keep track of. The topic that I posed earlier, I'm not going to get into right now, but many of you were curious about that. I did finish putting that together with the help of my friend Isaac Kotlicki, who does help me from time to time with his insights as well. So it's very valuable, and Baruch Hashem, I'm so grateful to have him as a friend and partner to help me with this. And the one I'm going to read from you today is actually from 5 years ago, and he also helped me with that one as well. So that's actually pretty timely. So again, if you want to be on my list for my written Dvar, which relates to what I spoke about in the WhatsApp chat, if you're part of that, then please message the appropriate parties, and they'll add you to the mailing list. But without further ado, let us begin. There's an interesting anomaly that occurs in this week's Parsha. In Perek Chof Bet Pasuk Chet, the Torah writes, Al kol davar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al seh, for every act of liability regarding an ox, a donkey, or a sheep. Now, the Pasuk lists the term shor, ox, before it lists the term chamor, donkey. However, in the next Pasuk, the Torah changes it. It says, Ki ten ish al rehu chamor, al shor, al seh. When a man shall give his fellow a donkey or an ox or a sheep, right? It's a different order than the previous pasuk, right? Before, we said ox, donkey, sheep. Now we say donkey, ox, sheep. So the donkey and ox are switched, right? Now, in most cases, when the Torah lists both an ox and a donkey, the ox comes first, which is generally logical as it has the greatest market value and is generally the most useful of the three animals that are mentioned, at least in an agricultural society, as most societies were. You need them for plowing, for wagons, etc. However, in Parsha Ki Tetzeh, where the Torah once again lists chamor before a shor, a donkey before an ox, when it states, Lo tireh et chamor achicha l'shoro nefalim aderech, you shall not see the donkey of your brother or his ox falling on the way. So those are the two cases in which they are transposed. So what's the connection between these two cases? Why are they reversed, right? Why does the Torah need to reverse them at all? And what's the connection between these two instances in which they're reversed? So as mentioned, the terms shor and chamor for ox and donkey are mentioned actually in numerous places, and we're only just going to barely scratch the surface. But they're mentioned by Yaakov, meaning Esav, as pertaining to property, a notion of value, and therefore shor comes before chamor. It makes sense, because a shor, an ox, is more valuable than a donkey. Two times earlier in this parsha, the combination occurs, one by damages to an animal, which again is monetary, and so too by theft of an animal, all of which involve payback of value. So it makes sense to list the item that is more valuable first, hence an ox. However, in the first instance, where the terms are reversed, is referring to borrowing an animal, and therefore it's a function of utilitarian purpose, or normative value rather than monetary value. And although an ox is more valuable, donkeys were considered to be more versatile in the sense that they can effectively carry anything and be used to take you almost anywhere. They were very, very hardy animals, right? So it seems far more likely that a person would borrow an animal to ride or carry a burden than specifically for an agricultural need, because often if they had them, they had agricultural needs, they would likely already have work animals. You might need to borrow one from time to time if yours, you know, died or something happened to it. But most of the time, you're going to have your oxen, you know, to travel with, or most of the time, you're going to have them to plow with, whatever. But when you really want to just go on a journey and just travel from city to city, most of the time, it's going to be a donkey that you're going to take. Occasionally maybe a camel, but we're not getting into that, right? Now, if a person may still needs more power or something happens to one's animal, yeah, okay, fine, they might get an ox, but generally a donkey is considered more useful and it comes first. And the third is, you know, a sheep, because for wool or for milk, but they're not usually generally dire needs, so it makes sense the sheep is always third. All right, now in Parsha Ki Tetzeh, the donkey comes first. Why? because it's more likely to beast of bur to be the beast of burden that falls under the weight that it is carrying. Oxen are strong, they're wide, they're also not usually used for carrying enormously heavy loads or wide loads, right? That is specifically a donkey that's primarily used for that, as a beast of burden, as it's called, right? So therefore, in that case, the use of the donkey is paramount as being the first animal listed because it's more relevant to the actual halacha. So we see here the Torah is actually being very practical. We gain an additional insight, right, more than that, that the Torah used the term chamor achicha, the donkey of your brother, because it's also a personal attachment to one's donkey. A lot of times a person only has one donkey, right? They, you know, they may have two or whatever, but generally they have like a specific donkey that they ride. It's their donkey, right? But they may have many oxen to plow the fields, and certainly they may have many flock, right? So there's a certain attachment because the singularity, more or less, of the donkey, right? So there's additional personal attachment that's greater than even than the monetary attachments, maybe for an ox. Now, Chazal teach that the word chamor, or donkey, is related to the word chomer, which means material. And there's also other associations with that shorish as well that I won't get into. But when somebody looks at the value of something material, one should look not simply as money or value, but something intrinsic and useful, right? Not just its monetary value, but what's its utilitarian purpose? What is its intrinsic purpose? And can you make a connection with it, right? So things are often a lot more important in terms of how you can use them or how you can benefit from them than how much you paid for them or how much you can sell them for. We Jews are not ascetic, and we do not refrain from material objects or pleasures, but we do have to use them in a proper and heightened manner. And perhaps this is why the chamor is, in fact, I mean, one of the reasons, but it's the only non-kosher animal that, in fact, requires redemption as a firstborn, right? Which is fascinating. It's to remind us to elevate the chomer in our lives, to elevate the material that we have in our lives for a higher purpose. Now, there's actually many other instances in which these are used, especially by tribes, by Yosef. He's compared to an ox, to Yisachar, he's compared to a donkey, and there's a bunch of different parallels there. So actually, the whole concept of an ox and a donkey runs far, far deeper. And so what I've explained is, you know, basically explaining from a practical perspective the order of things. But there's actually so much more that's actually hidden probably in every single instance in which both animals are mentioned, that it has multiple, possibly infinite layers of understanding that tie into different lessons and different connections, all of which are hidden there. Which again, it illustrates the point even further, right? So I'll just take this in one last direction, right? We mentioned chamor as material. Sure, can come from the word shura, which means line, or yashar, which means straight, like to go in a straight line. They would often plow in a straight line. It's possibly how the animal got its name, I don't know. But like, they would, you know, we often use them. When you plow, you don't usually plow in circles. You could, I guess, but like, you generally plow in a straight line. So there's something about being straightforward, right? We're Yisrael, which is Yashar Kel. We're the straight ones of Hashem. That's one explanation of that, right? We're meant to be straightforward. We're not meant to be, you know, crooked, perverse, wicked, lying. We're meant to be truthful. We're meant to be straightforward, and that's incredibly important. But we're also meant to be able to utilize material things in this world. And sometimes one can take a certain precedence over the other, even though obviously they're both extremely important. And, you know, but there are certain times where it's more important to focus, I should say, not necessarily prioritize, but more important to focus on elevating your circumstances. And sometimes it's more appropriate to kind of stick to your guns and be a straight shooter, right? And obviously that's a whole additional subject of discussion, but just wanted to, you know, kind of throw that out there as an additional insight. So again, thank you for Isaac Kotlicki for helping me with this dvar and the one that I wrote this week. And again, please let someone know if you want to join my written dvar, and wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom.